All right. It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM WMDX. You are tuned into the Black Conversion Show with the hostess with the mostess, who gets it all from her mama, the body, the mind, the intellect. And as y'all know, I am the woman in Dane County that people love to hate. Wait, is it hate to love? They hate to love, but love to hate me. Okay, let me get it right. Let me get it straight. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday morning. I have my favorite producer in the house, my boy, Luke. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Brandi. How are you doing?
You know, I mean, in my life, Luke, there seems to always be a storm that follows me. And I just, even when I've committed to shutting up and being silent and minding my business, it seems to follow me. I think God be playing games with me. That's what I think.
They find a way to drag you back in.
Drag me back in. Right? Look, and I just be like, all a sister want to do is mind my business, yeah. Exercise, drink some protein drinks and look good. But here we go again. Okay.
Here we go again. I think that's a good way to describe it this week.
Here we go again. So we're going to check in with you first, Luke. What's been going on in your life?
Busy, a lot of stuff trying to get done around the house. Yeah. It's plenty of projects. You know, when you buy a fixer-upper, you got to be the one to fix her up.
Yes,
so,
you do.
We're getting a lot of stuff done around the house, which is really good. Planning to go see the Badgers play this afternoon.
Good luck. So, what kind of Badgers? Volleyball?
I wish it was volleyball. They're doing all right. They took care of Minnesota earlier this week.
Okay, amen. Shout out to volleyball.
My older brother is going to be in town, and he has tickets to the football game, so we're going to probably watch Washington. It's the Battle of UW, so it's the University of Wisconsin versus the University of Washington.
Okay.
They'll probably lose, but my niece is about 8 weeks old, so I get to hang out with her a little bit.
That's a positive.
My nephew is about to turn 4, and he's at that exciting age where he's like doing all the dances and the singing of the Badger game, so I'm going to really focus on that stuff rather than the plays on the football
field. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Right? Good job, Luke. Yeah. Yeah, the glass is always halfway full.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because we know our UW Badger football team. I don't know what's going on with them, but
they're not doing so great this season. But
so great.
A lot of injuries. A lot of it's a disappointing season. I don't think anybody can really argue with that. But as a Badger, I always just look for the bright side.
The bright side. Hanging out with the kiddos at the football game. Okay.
How are you doing this week?
Well, you know, I am coming off a high from Halloween. Okay, y'all. You know, last week, like I told y'all, I love Halloween. It is my time for all my alter egos to come out, and boy, did they come out, okay?
They were out in full force, huh?
Out in full force.
All right.
A whole hot mess. I told you about my stand-up comedy show, how I bunged on that. Oh, my God. How is my phone even, like, on? And, all right, it's on Do Not Disturb. I don't know how that came
through. Yeah, one of your VIP contacts must be trying to get through then. That's okay.
I need to change the setting on that. No one should have a VIP contact
with me. I was
going to
say, we got to put the in-the-studio mode on.
Right,
Do Not Disturb, but that's
Lord.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, back to me.
But your comedy show, we heard about that a little bit last week.
Yes, back to me. I kind of like went overhead. I felt like that was the last time I was going to address people, you know, in my passive aggressive way. If y'all know anything about Brandi Grayson, I am passive aggressive, okay? And I'm working on that. I'm trying not to be passive aggressive. So I did that and I hurt a few people's feelings. But then Friday night for Halloween, I went out and all the people that were supposed to hang out with me ditched me because they had other plans or they just didn't feel like it. And it was cool. So guess what I did, Luke, being in my alter ego energy. Just guess what I did.
Just went out by yourself?
I did. I went out by myself. But however, in me going out by myself, I contacted my cousin and I was like, hey, cousin, I know you run a security business. Can I borrow one of your security guys for the day to drive me around and get me through the crowds? And he did. And it cost me $200. And I felt VIP. I felt presidential because every time we went into a bar, he just kind of walked me straight through the crowd and up front and said, what did he call me? What do you call the assignment when you're assigned to somebody on security? She's my detail.
Oh, I was thinking target, but I was like, detail makes a lot more sense.
I'm a target in other ways, Luke. Okay.
That's what I was concerned about. I was like, what are we talking about here?
I was his detail. So I had a ball. I went to Merchant. I went to Hayes Place. I went to, where else did I go? I went to TK, but I didn't go into TK because it was empty. And then I went to a couple bars on State Street in Madison, but I had a ball. So my week has been very interesting. And then on Saturday, I went to a party at the Hub, and I was in my dominatrix type of feel, and I had a whip, and I was walking around whipping people. So that felt kind of empowering. So anyway, my alter ego weekend was amazing. And now I'm in the week of like coming down, because I had said to myself, after I go through my alter ego stage, I am going to just chill out, you know, buckle down, get settled in around my projects and the things I need to do. Disconnect from social media. That was one of my goals for a few months, at least six, and disconnect and just focus on me. But then, Luke, here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, then what transpired in my life?
A little different plan.
A little different plan for me. And I still haven't spoke about it because I am really trying my best to practice what God is leading me to do, because I desire to be obedient, because I understand being obedient allows me to expand my alignment with the spiritual realm. But no, God wants to test me. So on, I think it was, I don't know what day. What day are we at, Luke? We're on Saturday.
This is Saturday.
Okay,
yeah, so early in the week.
Earlier in the week, one article drops from Channel 3000 in the evening. They don't, it doesn't make news. It's on their website. And by the same Jason Kuku, I don't know his name, Kavusu, Vuvu, Vava, I don't know his name. But this dude that's been stalking me for over a year. I mean, he's written all kind of, you know, sideways articles about me in Urban Triage. And if you read his writing, it is disconnected. Like, I don't know how he can even be an editor, but he's not even writing. It's nonsense. It doesn't make sense. So anyway, he drops an article about me, about Urban Triage, really. And I am the founder, CEO of Urban Triage, a nonprofit organization serving the greater Dane County area, providing homeless services, housing services, agriculture services, farming, CSA boxes, educational programs, youth programs, youth housing, transitional housing, rapid rehousing. We do a whole lot at Urban Triage, and I am so proud of the work that we do. And he drops an article about Urban Triage being late in payments in 2022. I have no idea what he's talking about. He has no interviews. He has no quotes for anybody. It's just kind of like this general statement that he received one ledger from one person indicating that Urban Triage was late on a payment. I didn't say anything. Cool. Whatever. Jason, do you. Next day, he drops an article again in the evening. Doesn't make news, but it's just on the website, and then it goes viral on Facebook. And it's accusing Urban Triage for being like $200,000 short or out of alignment with our audit, and then basically accusing Dane County for being in cahoots with us. So let's just say it's been a funny, funny week, because all a sister want to do is mind her business and do her job. And I just want to say, y'all, I think I'm doing a good job. So I'm upset, but let me tell you that I'm not, how do I say this, in the new becoming that I am. So as you guys may or may not know, Brandi Grayson is on this journey to becoming who I am next, my next phase of life, my next chapter, my next identity. So I am working on being that person right now in my communication and how I show up, which is why I make sure when I dress up and I come outside, I'm always looking kind of professional and cute, because that helps me stay in alignment with who I'm becoming. You know what I mean? Just this powerful, raw, beautiful woman that when you see me, if I got a point to prove, I look good while I do it. Okay. Amen. God is good. Here on Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM. So, however, he drops this article, and let me just say that my anxiety went through the roof, and my anxiety is more about me being afraid of the hate that people have towards me. Not the article, it's the hate. Like, we live in a really dangerous time right now, a really dangerous time where people are feeling. I don't know. How do I say this, Luke? Help me out, Luke. I need a white translator.
That's what I'm here for.
How can I say this in a way where I feel afraid? I feel afraid for my safety.
Yeah.
That's the best way
I can
say it.
I think that's the best way to say it, though.
Yeah. Like, I feel afraid for my safety because the obsession that this guy has with me and the people that ride with him, because it's just not him. It's like a handful of these white dudes that's been organizing, orchestrating, and planning and plotting against me and in Urban Triage for maybe a year or two, maybe even more, but it keeps escalating, right? And because white supremacy looks like white people and these white particular people having access to platforms and power like Channel 3000, don't you think that's nuts, Luke?
Yeah.
like having that type of access to power and a platform to defame someone and have false allegations about our accounting and our financial status and making these connections about Urban Triage being in deficiency or significant deficiency in our audits. And it's all a lie. And it's the framing of it, right? Because most people don't understand that nonprofit audits are pretty complicated. And when you have a significant deficiency, it doesn't equal material weaknesses. And significant deficiency just means like, hey, you missed a policy. There's something that you were missing in your paperwork. You need to fix that for next year. And then we have to write a letter that says this is what we're going to do to fix it. However, there was never any mismanagement of funds. There was never any fraud. There has never, ever, 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 ever been a financial issue with Urban Triage, which is why we continue to do the work and we're allowed to do the work and we continue to get access to other funding to do the work. But the obsession is dangerous, and the ability and the fact that he has this type of platform is even more dangerous. So I don't know what else to say, because I'm no longer the angry Black woman, right? Like the old me would cuss him out and tell him about himself and tell all the other people about themselves who shared it. And also here on the Black Conversion Show, I often talk about white supremacy, racism, and how Black people are complacent to it and how we often are regurgitating it and how we are in alignment with it and how white supremacy is not about race, but about power, and how white supremacy has indoctrinated all of us inside the system. And most of us don't know that we're in this fishbowl and we're partaking in it and participating in our own destruction and demise. So I would say that this situation with Channel 3000 is a perfect example of Black people being against themselves. And Luke, do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yes.
Against themselves? How do you interpret what I say for the white folks listening?
Against themselves is... See, I don't even know how I would translate it to. Mm-hmm. It's just when you're, it's not against your own self-interest kind of mindset, yeah. But it's almost in that line of where you're not doing. I can't seem to figure that out either.
Yeah, it's like you're doing the thing that harms you. And it's kind of like what white people do with Trump, right? Like you voted for Trump. Trump is moving in opposition of most of the vulnerable white folks, elders, farmers, but you voted for him, right? And when this article dropped, people known as Black in Madison, people that we've served, people that I've helped, people who call themselves my friends, people who show up in my inbox asking for jobs, resources, thought partnership, mentorship, and people who are saying like, I love you, I appreciate you, shared it without a second thought and was in comment sections like, oh, I knew they was fraud. I knew she was fraud. I knew she was this. That hurt me. Like that hurt me. That hurt me deeply, because then I have to ask myself, what am I doing here? What do I continue to do here? And why am I even here? Right? Because the people we serve don't want us. And the people that we're doing the work in partnership with, I'm not going to say that because the people that we're actually doing the work in partnership with showed up. Shout out to the Dane County Supervisors, Board of Supervisors. Shout out to our county exec. Shout out to Madison 365. Shout out to the folks that did speak up out of the thousands of shares. There was maybe 5 people. But I want to speak more on this because I think it's important for us to break down what anti-Blackness looks like, and outside of anger, but more so from a human perspective and a humanness perspective of what it means to exist in a world and in this small fishbowl we call Dane County, where being a Black woman unapologetically does something to people. It bothers your insides. And we need to talk about that a little bit more because it's showing up across the nation. And we just need to do better as humans. And I appreciate you listening. Stay tuned for the Politics and Tea on 92.7 FM WMDX, the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, we are back here on the Black Conversion Show with your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM WMDX. Thank you for joining me and returning, right, and sticking around for the Politics and Tea. Prior to break, I was just checking in with y'all. Oh my goodness, sorry y'all. Checking in with you about my week, and it's been a crazy week. I also had, not only did we have false allegations written by one, I think Channel 3 is a pretty powerful platform, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the three local stations here in town that's got the staff and resources to actually be able to cover our local news, which is a very important thing we see around the country, that we're having less and less local coverage, and for somebody to have that access. And I read the piece whatever night it came out earlier this week, and all I can say is, man, was it sloppily written?
It was sloppily written. It don't even make sense. Like, what are you even saying?
I was confused, and then going all the way through, like, I couldn't follow. There were like accusations. Like, as somebody that works in the news space, like, I know the difference between news and commentary. It's something that I work with very closely on a daily basis here at Civic. And it was interesting to see something that was posing as news, but it very much read like commentary.
Yeah, exactly. It was like somebody who didn't have any journalism experience. No.
Maybe some, but not like not good. And the fact that it went through the editorial process, which I'm certain that outlets like that have, and that it made its way through, or the individual could have went rogue, but I don't know. But it was how it got out into the world was very interesting.
Very interesting. And so when I talk about the safety of Black people, Black women, this is what I mean. Like, white supremacy is not, and racism just isn't about someone not liking you. It's not about the KKK. It's not, oh my goodness. It's not about someone driving up in a hood, a cone hood. It's about systems and structures being utilized to try to destroy someone in something. Urban Triage is the only Black organization at the table for housing work, y'all. Like, the only. We're the only Black organization at the table for agriculture and entrepreneurship conversations around people who are vulnerable. We are the only organization that has our doors open Monday through Thursday saying, come in, we will assist you with whatever, like a drop-in center. We're the only organization, y'all. We are the only organization. And let me also say, compared to other nonprofit organizations, we have some of the cleanest audits. Cleanest audits. I wish a news reporter will pull every nonprofit who does housing work audits and compare them. Because then I think people would just shut up about our audits, because we actually are doing pretty good for a new organization. And I think we're doing pretty good for a new organization because I knew race would be the first thing, and not the work, right? This Black woman, who do you think you are? This ghetto Black woman, who do you think you are? You don't have the credentials. You don't have the paper education. You don't have a master's degree. You don't have all the things people told you you had to have to be successful in business. But yet here we are being successful in business, delivering it in a tremendous way, in tremendous ways. I can't even tell y'all the impact of Urban Triage, because you wouldn't believe me anyway. It's kind of like I'm biased because I am the founder and CEO. But it's sad, because if we go away, it's going to be sad for people known as Black and brown people too, because every one of these organizations send their people to Urban Triage. But I'm going to leave it there, because that's what white supremacy looks like. And I'm just over it. I just got to let it go. And it is dangerous. It is super, super dangerous for me. So I think I'm going to just have to carry myself a little bit differently in the streets, because something is really, really wrong with the people that's allowing the defamation and the allegations to continue, and the stalking and the obsession session with me as an individual to continue. Shout out to Madison 365 again for doing their own investigative report. I appreciate you. Without you, there would have been no covering for Urban Triage. People were ready to whatever. We're moving on. Okay, here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, there's so much I want to talk to you about. And one of the things I want to talk about is written word. Do me a favor, Luke, go ahead and play that clip. It's like a minute long, about the importance of written word, and not the importance of, but what, let's talk about what happens when white people say things are facts.
So let's go down to a man by the name of Benjamin Rush, known as the father of American psychiatry. Benjamin Rush said Black people have a mental disease called nigritude. It causes their skin to be dark. It is a form of leprosy, and it is what makes them inferior to us, and it also makes them sick. So we need to be separated or segregated from them. Did you know that there is a psychiatrist by the name of Samuel Cartwright? This white man said that slaves who want to run away from slavery have a mental disease called drapetomania. Yo, I can't want to run away from slavery because that makes me crazy. Damn. What was the solution? They called it, quote, whipping the devil out of the them. Slave.
So you can go ahead and cut that off. So I wanted to play something really funny because this is what was written in psychology books. This is what people were studying, that there was something mentally wrong with people known as Black if they wanted to run away from slavery, right? If they wanted to run away from being dehumanized, tortured, beaten, and enslaved and forced into labor, something was mentally wrong with them. Could you imagine someone saying, hey, if you try to escape abuse, something's wrong with you? But it was written and people studied it and they believed it and they did what he told them to do, is they beat people who were enslaved even more. I'm so sorry, you guys. I've been fighting a cold for like 3 days.
It's that time of the year. It
is that time. Fighting a cold, fighting people, you know, just over here fighting. All I'm trying to do is I need some vitamin C. So anyway, when we return, we're going to talk about the Dayton County budget when we return here on the Black Conversion Show, y'all. I have a little brain fog, too. I didn't even sleep at all last night because I kept on coughing. I hate having a cold.
Now you tell me. Now I would have told you that we could record different day or something.
Oh, my bad, because I'd be trying to stick.
What happens if I get sick?
You're not going to get sick. Just spray some Lysol on this thing. Just spray a little Lysol. It'll be all right.
All right.
But let's talk about that Dane County budget in our sheriff's department. I love our sheriff, but he showed out trying to get them to vote differently. Shout out to Sheriff Calvin. Let's talk about him when we return here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. Wake me up a little bit because I'm froggy brained here on 92.7 FM WMDX. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest. All right, y'all. All right, we talked a little bit about written word and how things are often written into books and stories about people known as Black, and we believe them. We believe them without questioning them. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that we don't question things that happen to Black people because we're actually trained not to. And when things are said negative about Black people, we say, yes, that is true. And I often want to have an integrity conversation with y'all because I did the same thing. So white supremacy lives in all of us. A couple weeks ago, there was a Facebook post that dropped about Madison Metropolitan School District staff. I cannot remember their names, but there was an administrator that was accused of sexual assault of a 13-year-old autistic young man at White Horse Middle School. He was accused along with his assistant. I think it was like a special ed assistant. I remember his name. His name is Montrell. And I shared that post and I said, I believe that justice is, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I did say something about justice protecting our children and transparency and making sure that this investigation is thorough, because what I'm reading is sickening. And when I read the Facebook post, I cried. And if y'all know anything about me, I'm really, really sensitive about Black children and what happens to them inside systems. And I think it's my own trauma triggers from growing up unprotected. So I get real emotional and I have a real strong emotional response. Later on, we find out that some of the story that was shared in that Facebook post was not true, and that those two particular people that was accused of harming this young man has been found not to be the perpetrators. Now, I'm not saying that the assault did not happen. I'm saying that I, like y'all did when y'all shared my the story with Channel 3000, shared something that was not substantiated. So I think there's a lesson for myself and for others. And also, I got a lot of hate from Black men when I shared that article. And they, it wasn't an article. It wasn't a Madison Channel 3000 platform. It was a local community member who made the statement, who somehow was related to the young man. I think she was his auntie or something like that. And I had to block a few people from my Facebook because they start accusing me of allowing the allegations to go viral. It's funny how people hold me accountable for everything. They hold me accountable for homelessness. They hold me accountable for the article going viral. That particular Facebook post was shared over 6,000 times. And I just want to be accountable for my piece, though, my piece in sharing it and the outcome, because integrity is always important to me. And as I said last week on my show, if anything ever comes back that I share or say that's inadequate or not accurate or out of integrity, then I would be the first to say, acknowledge that and say, I'm sorry for any harm that I caused. So I just want to take a minute to acknowledge that as I talk about the harm that Channel 3000 continues to cause in my life and with urban triage. So we're going to talk today about, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the Dane County Board voting yesterday, the general board voting on our Dane County budget. Our Dane County budget was facing $31 million deficiency. Our Dane County exec asked all departments to cut 4% across their departments. One of the departments is Human Services and Health. I think it's Dane County Human Services and Health. Under that particular department, we have purchase of service agreements, which are nonprofit agencies who service people who are disabled, who services, homeless. We got a homeless shelter that's covered under that budget. And under that same budget is our sheriff department. And there was a lot of feedback going back and forth between the different amendments that have been submitted by supervisors. So what you can do when a budget is, or anything is up for a debate, you create amendments. You say, this is an alternative to that budget. So we had multiple meetings. I'm not part of them, but they had multiple meetings and that took the amendments to different committees, the personnel and finance committees and things like that. And they came up with this amendment called Sub 1, where they cut nonprofits by 1% instead of 4%. And they removed some funding from the sheriff department to allocate to those purchase of service agencies. And as a result of that, amendment, there were last minute amendments presented, I think it was yesterday, by three other Dane County Super Board Supervisors. And last night, I have to say, the general board voted for the Sub 1 budget, which honors the agreements that have been happening in these committees. And I also want to talk about Barrett, because his Calvin first name Barrett. Is Calvin. Yeah. His last name is Barrett. Okay. I'd be acting like I'd be knowing all the black people like, Calvin, what up, Calvin? Well, actually I do.
You're on a first name basis.
Yes, we do. So I'm not saying this to hate on him because, you know, sometimes you can disagree and then people think it's hate. No, I adore this man. I think he does a good job in his political position. Like his job is political. Okay. Mine's is just a mess over here. But anyway, he was trying to save the money in his budget. So he made all these videos and sent all these letters and he rallied up all these people and including some board supervisors to submit last minute amendments to save some of his budget, which is like $2 million. Now, I want to be clear, y'all. The money that was removed from the sheriff budget was money that was allocated to vacant positions. Like they had not been being filled. And there are some arguments about, well, they need that money for overtime because if not filled, they still have to do the job. But when they did a deeper analysis, it was not necessary. Is there anything that you found interesting as you looked up the conversation around the budget, Luke?
Well, what I've seen is they didn't get rid of all of the vacant ones.
Mm-hmm, right.
There were 20, from some of the local reporting I've seen from various outlets, mm-hmm. there were 20 unfilled positions. And part of this compromise is they're going to leave 8 of those open to mm-hmm. try to fill mm-hmm. to meet the department's needs. Mm-hmm. But the other 12 was where some of this compromise was. So they got rid of 60% mm-hmm. roughly of the unfilled vacant positions. Mm-hmm. But hopefully they'll be able to fill those other 8 and allow that to hopefully meet the department's needs when it comes to public safety.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm really proud of our Dane County supervisors across the board. As I was following the conversations, following y'all posts, I follow a lot of them on Facebook and I'm reading some of their commentary, reading some of their letters. I'm just honored to be in a community with people that centered the folks who are most vulnerable in our community. And outside of not just policing, because some people believe that policing is the answer for everything. I'm not a believer that policing is the answer for everything. I think human services is the answer for human services, and people are the answer for people who are vulnerable. So shout out for y'all. Shout out to y'all for that. Hey, what was that? I thought that was a
shout
sound
out.
Effect.
That was a shout out.
I like that sound effect. Lou, what is that?
I was trying to get ready for the next cut, and the music was still up. I apologize. But it worked. It timed well as a sound effect, right?
It did. I like
that. It was a good shout out.
It was. Good shout out to y'all. Okay, moving on again. I want you to play the next clip about white supremacy, indifference, and compromise. It's a 1 minute sound bite. I want us to get an understanding of what it looks like and what it sounds like.
Pyramid of white supremacy. I don't know if anybody's seen it. And at the very bottom of the pyramid is indifference. So if you are indifferent to other people's pain and suffering, then you're allowing all those other things to happen right up to genocide. So we try and say, okay, this may not be your priority, but why would you be indifferent?
Yeah, because really, in essence, you're saying that the indifference is a part of the racism.
It
when
is.
You look the other way.
That's right.
Right?
You pretend like you don't see stuff.
Do you understand why this could be perceived as a threat when white women hear this? Because you can see them, whether they have on pearls or not, they're clutching something, right?
Yes.
When they're hearing
yes.
this, or when you say, how many of you in here are racist?
Mm-hmm. You know what I know? I know that once you acknowledge something, then you are required to either make a change or make a decision. Either way, it's a decision to continue as things are. And I think a lot of people don't want to make that decision. It's easier to say, well, I don't know, than it is to say, yeah, I'm a racist and I need to do some work.
Mm-hmm. Visit every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, so part of this is I wanted to share that clip because part of it is that once we admit as people, even myself, that there's some work that I need to do, once I'm accountable for my actions and the way that I show up or my indifference when things happen, then it almost forces you to have to do something, right? So instead of being accountable for what we do, we just be indifferent. Well, I just shared it. I just said it. I'm not accountable for that. I'm not responsible for the outcome of it. And that's the problem with white supremacy. And that's the problem with why we have Trump right now, because everyone was so indifferent and everyone was so afraid of the black woman, and everyone's always afraid of black people. And I say everyone, I mean everyone. We have this deep-seated fear of us. Black people have the deep-seated fear of us. We're indoctrinated in this way of being where we believe that if something negative happens or is said about a black person, it has to be the truth, because I have been indoctrinated to believe that I'm not worthy. And if I'm not worthy, you can't be worthy. And if all black people are, you know, inferior, then of course you did this thing that they're accusing you of doing. So it goes back again to even the post that I shared on Facebook. I didn't really think about it that way at the time, but, you know, in hindsight, it still fits. It fits into this way of thinking about people. And I think it's not about black on black. It's about humanness, like how we're so quick to dehumanize each other and how we all placate to this way of being. So I also wanted to play a quick video on the values of white supremacy, because we often ask how things happen, but things happen the way they happen because of the values we uphold as a nation. Whenever you're ready.
What is white supremacy? White supremacy exists when white culture has more value than other cultures. It exists when white people have a larger share of power and status because of the value society has placed on their skin color. Many people associate white supremacy with the Ku Klux Klan, slavery, and genocide, which is true, but it's not always that obvious. When you look closely, you see white supremacy woven throughout our culture, where you might not expect it, in healthcare, education, employment, immigration, food access, and more. You see it in lending policies that result in black people being denied a mortgage, or in company policies that compel non-white employees to change their hair to be considered professional, or in crime statistics which show white people getting softer sentences for the exact same crime as BIPOC. Once we are aware of white supremacy in our world today, we must work together to dismantle it so all people can be represented, valued, and safe.
All right, so part of the values that I want to talk about when we get back is the values that Obama talked about in his speech the other day. Have you guys been following Obama? Have you, Luke? Have you been listening to him right before all the elections?
I heard bits and clips. I did not watch the whole speech.
He has been showing out. Obama, I love him. I wish he could come
back.
See,
I think he is always like that, though.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like he, I think his clips are shared more when it comes to election time. Yeah. It's like, oh, we've been missing this.
We've been missing you, Obama. Yeah. Come back home. That brother got so much swag. Somebody yelled out, "You fine, Obama?" He was
comeback Barack SNL skit is still one of my favorite ones.
I don't think I've seen that.
Okay, hang on. We're going to have that.
We're going to have that. Okay, yeah. Perfect. Because I love that man. And I'm hoping and praying. No, I don't. I can't hope and pray because then we're going to have this whole authoritarian. Okay, moving on. So when we return back from break, we're going to hear a clip from Obama about the importance of our values. And our values are a reflection of not just on a system level, but individuals. What is your values? What are your values? And what I teach in my work is how we are anywhere is how we are everywhere in our life. So stay tuned for some more politics and tea here on the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And I see you moving on, and I'm begging you to come back home.
And every night, I turn the TV on and cry.
All right, y'all, you tune back in.
I say
why?
We're all gonna die.
We're gonna die. Come back home, Obama.
So come back, Barack.
Come back. You're tuned into 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show. I think that song might have got us blocked on Facebook. I just got a warning that your video has been blocked.
Oh no! Sorry, SNL. Yeah.
Look, they strong on it. They were quick too. It was like 30 seconds. They was like,
I was gonna say that was fast.
Yeah, you're out of here, buddy. This video's blocked.
This was probably one of my favorite SNL clips of like the entire the last decade. Like, there's been some decent ones. But this one was just Chance the Rapper just does a phenomenal job. Chris Redd, Kenan Thompson.
Oh, amen.
Hilarious. If you have not seen the whole video, go check it out. I'm gonna link it to the show notes as well.
Okay.
But this was one of my favorites.
Yeah, we miss him. He just made sense. I don't know. Nothing makes sense anymore in this world. We have channel national platforms or local platforms attacking. Let's move on. Okay, let's go ahead to the video with Obama's speech. It's like 2.5 minutes. I would love for us to hear it. He is talking about the values and the importance of values. And before break, we talked about the values of white supremacy and the things that we focus on that got us all screwed up, which is like power, dominance, and using race as an excuse and using it as a way to, you know, disunite us and dehumanize us and to put people on top of people. Let's hear from Obama.
What this election's about, what politics in a democracy is always about, is values. What do we care about? What do we believe? What do we prioritize? What are our core convictions? You know, a lot of people have asked me lately whether I'm surprised by the direction the country's taken. And even though I am the hope and change guy, I try to be honest with them. So I say, yes, there are things I am worried about. I am worried about how quickly basic democratic rules and norms have been weakened. I'm worried about how willing Republicans in Congress have been to surrender their role as members of a co-equal branch of government, refusing to buck the president even when they know he's out of line. Even when a lot of them will privately admit that power is being abused in ways that will hurt their constituents and hurt the country. I worry about a Supreme Court that, so far at least, has shown no willingness to check this administration's excesses, even when those actions break legal precedent and seem to defy the bedrock principle that no one is above the law. I worry about the growing concentration of economic power in this country, with just a handful of mega billionaires and companies controlling what we see and what we hear. And I worry about how much that economic power distorts the political process. I worry about how readily not just business leaders, but others with influence in law firms and universities have been willing to bend the knee to this president's autocratic impulses to avoid retribution or protect profits or simply to avoid controversy. And I worry sometimes how we've come to accept this as normal.
All right, that was the end of it?
That was the end of it.
I didn't pick a good one. I thought I picked a different clip. I didn't like that one. Okay, because his speech was like 25 minutes and he had some good... Okay, I apologize. I told you I had a brain fart today, but it's okay. But part of the values that he was talking about is how do we center our laws, our systems, our structures, and like justice. I don't know where we're going as a country, Luke. I don't know where we're going as a community. I know that this week we had some good turnouts in the elections. We have the mayor of New York who won. Thank God he won. What's his name again?
Mom Donnie.
This man is half Asian, half African. He's for healthcare. He's for the working class. He is exactly who New York needed. Am I wrong?
No lie detected.
Yeah, no lie.
34 okay. years young.
34 years young.
I think very much a symbolic passing of the torch when it comes to leadership.
Yes.
There was a lot said going into this, mm-hmm. and I think as he campaigned on making New York City more affordable, I think voters that message resonated with voters in New York, mm. and I think there was some really great news coming around the country, not just out of New York City this week with the elections, but just the overwhelming kind of refuting of what's been going on over the recent months with the results from New York to Virginia to New Jersey to even places like Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah,
and California.
And California is going down. I think it's really going to, in the next few years, is going to be our local municipalities that's going to push us forward. Just like the Dane County Board of Supervisors, just like the mayors, like the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, he's been showing his buck, but he's not folding. And we need more people in our local government not folding. We need to stand for the people, by the people. Even if you disagree, even if you're not all on one accord, we just need to center those who are most vulnerable. And if we do disagree, let's do it in a humane way and still shake hands and still collaborate and still get the job done, because the people that are most vulnerable are the ones that suffer the most. Our elders, our homeless folks, our single mothers, our people with chronic diseases and chronic disabilities. Those are the people that Urban Triage serves. And I think the image of who we think is vulnerable is actually not the people that are vulnerable. So we really need to educate ourselves. So shout out to Dane County Human Services. Shout out to Madison 365. Shout out to our people who are doing the work behind the scenes. I appreciate y'all. We care for y'all. Urban Triage ain't going nowhere soon. But y'all gonna make me run away though, on my mama. All right. Peace, love, and hair grease. Thank you for tuning in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX. I'll see you next Saturday. I put that on my mama.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.